There are 3 million souls in the collective unconscious of the City of Light. For Gary K. Mankiewicz, spiritual detective, this is the story of another.
Maria Spinoza and I had a synchronous relationship. We'd been to school together and shared some interests. Adolescent dabbling in the occult and smooching together at local dances. We matriculated and went our separate ways, only to meet up again 5 years later at a rock festival. We shared a flagon of wine and a sleeping bag. It was the times, I guess. We saw each other now and again over the years, at alternative festivals and demonstrations. There was always a spark between us, a little bit of that indefinable thing that people call it. Something always stood in the way of us acting on our mutual attraction. She led a nomadic lifestyle, moving from promised land to promised land, dabbling use of belief systems. I wasn't surprised when she knocked on my door, holding a suitcase and a pair of airline tickets. Maria, where are you going to now? Come in, tell me the story.
How'd you like a working holiday in Mexico?
Holiday I could take easily. Work? You'll have to tell me about that.
You've been reading the crime reports lately, I suppose.
I get a tax deduction for buying the papers. Of course I have. An honest professional interest. Which case?
The Spanish astrologers. A pair of attractive women. They took out ads in the Spanish press. Have your stars read and discover your path to wealth. They got a lot of business and burned a lot of the Spanish community. To become wealthy, you had to bring your money and valuables to them in a sealed box for blessing. They took the box away and blessed it, then gave it back to you, not to be opened for a week. A week later, the participants opened their boxes, all empty. The astrologers flew out for Mexico the night before.
How much money did they get?
Oh, no one knows. Some people didn't want the tax people to know how much they had. Others are embarrassed about being taken.
So they should be.
Well, you wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. But greed and superstition are strong allies, particularly when they're being used on lonely men by a pair of beautiful young women.
Okay, point taken. How much money?
I'm representing one person. He lost $1 million.
A million? That's more than enough for anyone. You don't need more. Too greedy.
It's my dad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't say that. A million is more than enough. He's 83 years old. He doesn't know what he's doing anymore. He's senile, half blind, on sticks. Oh, Gary, I feel so bad. When I found out, all I could think was, why did I let my father live by himself in his condition? I just feel so guilty.
Her situation pierced my heart. She'd been too caught up in her own world to see her dad's problem. Frail old age. I hadn't been out of the country for years. And what could a pair of beautiful young Spanish women do to me? It'd be a breeze. After all, they didn't call the wind Mariah for nothing. We travelled first class. I'd never done it before. I hunkered down with a fat airport novel and began reading. The male lead's name was Hugo. His jaw was firm, his belly lean. He dashed from Acapulco to Cannes. I liked the name, Hugo. It came out like patented oak. Hugo. I got inside him. Hugo.
Your lemon tea, Mr. Mankiewicz.
Hugo, I said. Just call me Hugo, he said, with a mischievous glint in his eye. I felt like I wanted to wear a tailored jacket made of light, smooth corduroy. I felt sexy.
You know what I like about you, Gary?
Who, what, where, why, what?
What I like about you. You know what I like?
My almost ascetic devotion to spiritual detecting?
No. The way you'll come with me to Mexico to find two people in a country with a population of 52 million souls.
I was going to ask you, you know, names, addresses. I couldn't be bothered with names and addresses. There weren't any anyway. We were after two women, 25 years of age, dark hair, dark eyes, astrologers. One thing I knew, they were going to be where the fun was. Hugo was telling me that. He'd got under my skin. Hugo got me to stop in at Duty Free and buy some corduroy suits and polo neck sweaters and a set of honcho cosmetics for men. Then Maria dragged me off to the nightclub district. Is this place really going to be the fun place?
If you want to get to know the free spirits anywhere, go dancing!
Herb's Bar and Grill was done out in trumpet gold paint. The lighting on the dance floor was bright. This was a place where the clientele really wanted to get a good look at your dancing style. Maria dipped a finger in an unattended margarita, put a drop on her tongue and whirled onto the floor. I followed, with the hotly excited Hugo urging me on. We were stars. We shimmied. We shaked. I twitched. Hugo gyrated. When we touched, we were one with the music. We only needed to be seated for a minute to meet some fun people. Our dancing had made a big impression.
You two were marvelous up there. You should put your names down for a dance competition. Oh, excuse me, I'm butting in. My name is Carmen.
Gary.
And Maria.
Gary, Maria, you are simply marvelous. You must dance in our sexy dance competition. It's only half an hour, and the band and the singer...
What's the prize?
A day out picnicking and touring in Herb's Big Yellow Taxi. An entry to the All Mexico Hot Dancing Championship, sponsored by Miguel's Hot Chili Salsa, the salsa that puts the cha-cha back into your life.
Oh, Gary, it sounds like the best fun in town. Let's follow it.
I'm in.
Gracias. Herb will be so happy when he finds out we have visitors in our contest. He loves to feel cosmopolitan. You're on first, with me.
Think I better dance now.
I couldn't figure out what Carmen was doing up on the dance floor. She didn't have a partner. She danced around us. To say it was provocative was an understatement. There were cops back in the City of Light who would have arrested her for inciting lewd something or other. Then I tweaked. Carmen was there to encourage editors to new heights of sexy dancing. Maria stamped a heel on the floor, stood stock still for a beat, flicked her head to one side and tore her shirt open to the navel. As for me, it had been a long time since I'd felt like my pelvis was home to a large warm ball of mercury, and even longer since I'd felt like my groin was of interest to anyone but me.
It has been a long time, hasn't it, rice boy?
Tofu maiden.
Rise.
Fall.
Women and girls rule my world. I say they rule my world.
We writhed in ecstasy on the floor. We overheated. That's what the judges told us anyway. Apparently, the aim was to symbolise sexuality, not depict it. We were dishevelled and disqualified.
Oh, that was terrific, Gary. Come on, let's do it again.
Some discretion, Maria, por favor. You can get away with that performance once, it helps, but twice.
Oh, you're not exactly the soul of discretion yourself. And that was just great sex. Come on, Gary, let's go find a motel.
One that's got a geisha love swing.
I thought you were pursuing the fun crowd, not each other. What are you anyway? Journalists?
Keep it civil, Carmen.
We're just swinging tourists. Come on, let's find a motel with a trapeze.
I can show you more fun. A better place than this. In your state, it may be of great interest.
Our sexual imaginations were on fire. Our pupils dilated, skin searing at every touch. Carmen's offer seemed like an erotic opium. Irresistible to a pair of sex addicts, we followed her. Maria and I found our ardour cooled by the long trip through the suburbs. Dormitory suburbs. Places to sleep, not for lovemaking. It was early morning. A chill was in the air. Carmen opened the door for us. Inside was almost dark. A native band played in a corner. Ill-kempt clients muttered darkly to one another.
Where's the fun, Carmen? This isn't turning
Sit
me on.
Sit down. That's why I brought you here. You puta turistas. That's all you ever want in Mexico. Love beads, tequila, good times. The people of Mexico starve and suffer for your meaningless satisfaction. Here in Club Pancho are the revolutionaries. Meet them. Talk to them. Find out about the real Mexico.
I hate politics. I don't do politics.
You can't just stop. Otherwise, politics gets you. The man in the corner. The fascistas caught him 3 months ago. He pleaded with them. No, no, I'm not interested in politics anymore, he cried. They took a scalpel and grabbed his thing, his manhood. They sliced
him. Oh, stop, please, stop. Franco, puta, Franco.
I grabbed Maria. She was flashing back to her father. He'd been tortured in Spain by Franco's mob. She spat on Carmen, kicked at her with her stilettos, lashed at her with an empty tequila bottle. Carmen pushed herself back against a table to evade Maria's lashing shoe. She flicked out a knife. She wasn't going to back away any further. It took all my strength to hold Maria.
Franco's bitch!
It was a Mexican standoff. We all remained poised, tense, eyeballing each other. A curtained doorway shot open. There stood two dark-haired, dark-eyed 25-year-old women.
You'd find us where the fun people are, eh? You are both pathetically naive.
Thank you, Carmen. Give them an anesthetic. Inez, get a truck.
A pleasure to ice the heat of the puta turista.
Maria gave a sharp yelp before the injection took her down. I had a Hugo resurgence. I thrust my chest out at my attackers and woodenly tried to punch them. I fancy that I looked a bit like Roger Moore in The Saint, especially with the polo neck sweater. It was pointless posturing. The whole of Club Pancho was against us. The anaesthetic marched relentlessly up my arm like deadly ice. Then I knew nothing. I came to in a filthy cell. Maria lay next to me, still out. My brain felt numb. A shaft of light penetrated the stinking gloom. I dragged myself up on the window bars and looked out. We were high in the mountains, in a rebel army camp. A motley parade was underway. Mirabelle inspected a detachment of troops, selected a small group, and marched them over to face a bullet-shattered wall. A firing squad.
For you and your Maria, Senor Mankiewicz, you know too much. Wake the girl!
I reached for Maria, but Carmen beat me to it. Maria took a bucket of icy water in the face.
Oh. No last meals. You have 5 minutes to make your peace with whatever god you have.
No last meals?
Your astrologers, Inez and Mirabelle, they're going to shoot us.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And oh, how does it go again?
Castaneda.
What?
There's one way out of this. We make ourselves invisible like Castaneda did. Take on the cloak of invisibility when they lead us out there and walk away. You put that empty tequila bottle in your bag. It's still got the worm in it. All we have to do is eat it and find the ancient Indian in our subconscious. They led us out to the firing squad. We were primed. We'd both locked onto an Aztec priest. Maria nodded, and we turned and walked toward the camp's gates.
Wrong direction, gringos! There is no escape!
I'd never really been taken in by Castaneda's books. Cosmic hippie rubbish. We were still visible.
May I just have one last dance before I die? The flamenco.
It's always so droll to see a turista perform a dance they don't understand at all. Go ahead.
Inez was... Maria's flamenco was inspired, powerful. It spoke of an unbeatable lust for life. By the time she reached the crescendo of her performance, the firing squad had lowered their rifles, and Inez was quivering with rage.
So you learnt when you were young. I suppose you were promoted to the senior dance class ahead of all the other kids. You had a pony and a pointy Diana Doors brassiere, patent leather shoes, and a jewelry cast at the plate. I'm 16 going on 17. Shoot them!
The firing squad didn't move. A few of them had tears running down their cheeks. One by one, they shouldered arms, spat in the dirt and shambled off. They were moved by Maria's art.
They'll soon forget your shallow flamenco. When they realize you are saboteurs of the revolution, they'll gladly kill you. Back to your cell.
Maria, you've saved us. You're beautiful. You're a genius.
I wasn't trying to save us. I thought I was about to die and I wanted to express my love for you.
Maria, it's taken so many years, but I don't know if I love you or if I'm just,
Randy old guru?
I was confused. Death and sex entwine. Love doesn't seem to come into it. I could feel Hugo rising. A guard rapped on our cell door. Hugo took over. He emptied out the slops tin and hid behind the door. The guard entered bearing a plate of soggy tortillas. Hugo clobbered him, rifled his pockets for keys, grabbed Maria and fled. It was the oldest, corniest, cliched trick in the book. I was beginning to realise that Hugo was a bit like that. Tell the truth, I didn't mind. Inez and Mirabelle's rebel army dozed. Our escape was easy. We slipped quietly out of the camp gates. I had to restrain Hugo. He had a boyish impulse to hack a Z into the trousers of the dozing sentry. We made our way into an open forest across the valley.
This is beautiful. Just so beautiful. It amazes me, Gary. You've got to get close to death to realize how beautiful the world around you is. Birds, butterflies, bees...
Bears! We ran for it. The bear didn't follow. It was only a little Mexican brown bear intent on dining on a wild bee's nest that had knocked down. We ran longer than we needed to. It was our joy in freedom. Eventually, we collapsed laughing on the forest floor.
It's also amazing that when you've been so close to death, the urge to procreate surges. Rice ball.
Tofu maiden.
Rise.
Fall. The little death was followed by the little sleep. We were woken by the chill of early evening.
Come on, my sweet. We better stop moving. I smell chocolate. That way. Come on. Do you feel wonderful too, Gary? Brim full of sweetness and love?
Don't push me, Maria. I'm confused. I don't know about this sort of love anymore. I've devoted myself to a higher plane for a long time, you know.
I mind a quick root in the bush. Gary, this sounds like classic male inability to commit. We're great together. The sex we're having is beyond the realm of the senses. It's on your precious higher plane. Admit it. Accept it.
Something happened to me on the plane, Maria.
Yeah, you forgot about relationships and real life and how to communicate with women.
The aeroplane, Maria. Something happened to me on the aeroplane. I read this airport novel and I got involved in it. I like the lead character, Hugo. He's got into me. He's partly running the show.
You mean Hugo's attracted to me, not you?
Well, it's not that simple. It's half him and half me.
Let's just hope that Hugo's responsible for the polo next.
She didn't seem too turned off by the predicament. Then again, Maria was a veteran of the troubled paths of the spiritual seeker. She also had a fantastic nose. We struck a small road which led into a village. Outside a cantina sat an old man drinking chocolate.
We would like a room for the night, senor. Can you help us?
There are always rooms in Chocolita. 100 pesos. The girl will show you to upstairs.
Why are there always rooms?
The rebels, Inés and Maribel, come and go. They scare people away.
The girl showed us our room. It was small and clean and lit by a candle. We stripped and washed and got into bed.
At least we know where Dad's money has gone, into revolution.
Might make him happy. His money helped fight the good fight against the rightists.
It better, because he's not going to get it back. We've just got to get out of here and back home. Rice boy.
Tofu maiden.
Rise.
Fall. Our deep sleep was disturbed at first light. The rebels were coming to Chocolito. I was gripped by Hugo. My lean jaw thrust out. I dressed quickly and leapt out the window. Maria followed. I caught her in my arms. Leaving Mexico was getting further from our reach by the hour. The rebels were on a drive. Maria and I were continually forced higher into the mountains. We needed shelter and food. The day's frantic scramble had weakened us. We rested by a waterfall. The sun was setting. We need to find a ley line, some cosmic shelter.
We need a real roof over our heads and hot food.
I think we're a long way from people.
I can smell lentil soup. Come on.
I trusted her nose. We climbed the cliff face of the waterfall.
Listen.
I followed her to the edge of dense scrub. There, high above us, shrouded in moonlit mist, was a nunnery. It clung to the side of the cliff, unassailable.
If we can get up there, we can claim sanctuary. It's food and shelter for us.
But I'm a man.
Oh, how astute. You won't be rejected because of your sex. Be obeisant at the entrance to the chapel. Keep quiet and walk to the altar.
How do we get up?
How do they get up?
We edged along the ledges below the nunnery. The wind came up. We clung to the cliff face by our finger pads, frightened amphibians.
Here it is.
Maria had found three ropes, two thick, one thin. She gave the thin one a tug. Far above us, a bell rang. The two thick ropes started moving. On the end of one rode a large basket, rather like a hot air ballooning basket. We hopped in and ascended toward the heavens. At the top, Hans pulled the basket over a platform above a courtyard. Below us, a dozen stout nuns rested briefly on the rope before dropping us onto the platform. I climbed out and lost my footing. The abbess grabbed my elbow.
Are you all right?
Dizzy. Must be the altitude or something. The fever raged for a week. I fought Inez and Mirabel over and over again, escaped as Hugo, in an Aston Martin, wearing a pair of those posy little leather driving gloves, motoring forever along that winding cliff road outside of Monaco, dreadful music pouring for radio. I couldn't turn it off. I reached for the glove box and pulled out a hip flask of Glenfiddich. The smell rose. I gagged. The Aston Martin veered wildly, smashed through the road barrier, airborne, and the music still played.
You are all right. You are safe here.
I had a smash. Where are my leather driving gloves? The Aston Martin, it's not insured.
You've had a fever. You've been doing a lot of driving. I'll bring the abbess.
I sank back onto the bed, exhausted. I was in the nunnery's sick bay, a bare stone room. I gazed at the crucifix on the wall. A charitable force emanated from it. My being felt soothed. The horrors of the Monaco coast road receded.
Signor Mankovic, what a joy to see you fully conscious. Our prayers have been answered. Sister Rosa has been particularly worried about you.
How long have
Only a week. You've been very ill, physically and spiritually.
Spiritually?
Don't be alarmed. You were possessed. Now you aren't. I don't take the practice of exorcism lightly, but in your case, Hugo just had to go. A terribly dated individual. Although I had been told that flares have come back into fashion.
Gone? Forever?
He may rear his bouffant again, attempt to get you to buy a tweed jacket with leather elbow patches, but I think you'll have enough strength to combat him by the time you leave our house.
What about Maria?
She's very well. You may speak with her for an hour in the afternoons. In the garden.
I wanted to ask more questions, but I was exhausted. I lay back on the bed and slept without dreams. When I woke, Sister Rosa brought me a bowl of rice and beans. That was the pattern for days. I rested serenely, ate ever larger bowls of food, listened to the chants and songs of the nunnery and contemplated the crucifix. Finally, I was allowed up. I shuffled out into the herb and vegetable garden and sat on a stone bench in a sunny corner. I waited for Maria.
Gary?
How are you?
Fine. And you?
Getting there. What have you been doing?
Working in the garden, eating, attending services, singing, going to bed early.
When can we get out?
When you're better. A month, maybe two. They'll arrange passage for us to the city.
Conversation dried up. We sat up opposite each other, me in my white pyjamas, Maria in a grey novice's shift. There was no tension, no thought. She rose and took my hand in hers.
Oh, Gary, I'm sorry. It was all a big mistake, me and you.
I know. Something got into me.
Hugo. You can say the name, you know.
All right. Hugo. I'm not in love. And lust doesn't even enter into the equation.
Same here. I used to hate all this Catholic stuff. But now, well, a bit of celibacy and a slice of other people's problems is overdue.
We let it all go. It was like we'd had things trapped in a cage. Money, sex, bright lights, big city. We opened the cage door and let our material fleshly concerns fly away. Time went by peaceably enough. The days were bright and cold on the sisters' mountaintop. We hoed the garden and picked the herbs. I read the Bible and acquainted myself with all the big stories that people like me had left behind. Realised that every Hollywood movie, every TV soap, every tale known in our part of the world had its roots there, in the Christian holy book. My energy returned, and the abbess allowed me a place on the gang that hauled the basket up. I was healthier than I had been for years. The absence of 100 competing religions, cults and beliefs cleared my mind. My thoughts were washed whiter than white. I guess it had to happen. They were an unmistakable musical combo. I threw down my hoe, ran to the basket platform and peered down the cliffs. Inez and Mirabel's rebel army were swarming up to the nunnery from all sides. There was nothing we could do.
Gary and Maria, you are still pathetically naive. You cannot hide from us.
We weren't hiding from you.
Silence, child. They sought sanctuary and it was given. They have atoned for their sins.
Their sins cannot be washed away by the church's repressive mumbo-jumbo. They seek to sabotage the revolution. And this time, I will execute them myself.
Only the Lord can calculate such punishments. Not this time. The fascistas pursue us relentlessly. Here we can defend ourselves for long enough to cover the strategic retreat. You may leave, all of you. The stars tell me that it is right to leave you unharmed.
No! They must die!
Their exit into the fascistas' vanguard will create some confusion. It will give us precious hours to set up our defenses. You have 1 hour to decamp. Mobilize the artillery pieces!
The place was in an uproar. The sisters packed madly. Holy relics and cooking utensils were bundled together in coarse blankets. Maria and I changed into our civilian clothes. When I pulled my polo neck on, an unexpected wave of Hugo-ness swept over me. I found myself in the chapel, walking towards a silver monstrance. I picked it up and hid it under my jacket. Payment for my suffering.
He troubles you again?
I was just paying my respects.
Take the monstrance out from under your jacket and hand it to me. Thank you. Take off the polo neck. Is he gone?
Yes.
I think this old shirt will better suit you. And take this vial of water. It may help Maria's father.
Thank you. I'm in your debt.
The Lord's debt, not mine.
We made our way down into the valley. The rightists welcomed us and sent us back to the city, unharmed. As for the plane journey back to the City of Light, it was fine. But this time, I didn't buy an airport novel.